G'day. Yep, it's that time again. Time for cinema. Yes, my little Huguenites, welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back to Cinema Huguen, if you're listening to us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Listen, listeners, my faith, my belief, my hope that the great madness at the movies where they just remake, rehash, reboot in the IP-opolis will not only crumble like the Roman Empire, but it will be because of the revolution that I believe is coming out of independent cinema, because it has been so good lately, so good. And freestyle digital media are one of the great distributors, adding fuel to this fire, strength to this cause, that there is great original cinema out there that's not based or rebooted or remade from anything. One such film, another to add to their great list of hits that Freestyle Digital Media has been coming out with over the last year that I've had the privilege of reviewing, is Stargazer, which tells the story of what happens when a naive grad student, Grace Campbell, gets the chance to revive the reputation of a forgotten female astronomer, Cecilia Payne. Cecilia discovered the nature of the universe, but saw her genius stolen by men. For Grace, history threatens to repeat itself when she is forced to partner up with Spike Randall, an aggressive journalist who has just booked Grace an appearance on a new television talk show with Annette Gordon-Reed the very next day. But at what cost? A dancer named Diana eavesdrops through the library shelves, where she works on a story of her own, a mythical ballet about sex and power in ancient Greece. Yes, Diana leads Grace on a long night's journey under the influence. That's right, under the influence, as Grace flashes back to Cecilia at Harvard in the 1920s, and both women are transported by fantasies. Grace will have to choose. Should she partner with a man she's not sure she trusts, or kick Spike to the curb, go it alone, and stand up for Cecilia and herself? This is an incredible film. Cinema Huguen is very, very humbled and gratified to welcome the inspirational crew behind the inspirational film. We have director Alan McIntyre, co-writer Rob Ackerman, Matt Bogart, he's Spike, Leigh Nicow, the lovely Leigh Nicow, lovely lady and gentleman, welcome to Cinema Huguen. This is a brilliant film. Thank you for coming on board and talking about it with me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is an incredible film, guys. Well done all around. Stargazer, what a real treat this was. As I was saying at the top of the show, the poster in that belies how good and how deep and how much fun. How many layers this onion has, hey?
Absolutely. Yeah, we wanted to keep everybody kind of guessing as to where the story was going to go. I find it really frustrating these days with a lot of movies feeling paint by numbers and feeling like you kind of know the ending before you even watch the movie. So one of my favorite things when I read Rob and Kate's script here was that it just really stood out to me how I'd never seen a movie like this. So I think, you know, Rob and Kate really got the ball rolling with the script and just totally knocked it out of the park with, you know, just creating characters that were completely unique and a storyline that kept you guessing.
Initially, when I started watching it, I was getting sort of Woody Allen vibes, but that quickly materialized into sort of Charlie Kaufman sort of adaptation-esque.
and then Michael Gowdry-esque sort of leaking that. Were they, for both Rob and Alan, were they influences in this?
Well, I have to confess that I have the same birthday as Woody Allen, so there might be some sort of astrological thing going on there. And though you named some of my real heroes, but Kate and I, when we were working on it, got to a certain point, and then Alan and Matt and Lay brought it out. It sort of evolved pretty intensely in the rehearsal process, not just the script and its layers of vulnerability. So a lot of that happened sort of organically once Alan became the director.
Yeah, and a big part of it too was trying to cinematize a very dialogue heavy script.
Yes.
And when I first got the script, there was references to the sort of imaginations as the characters start telling stories, either from the past or the ancient history of ancient Greece mythology. There were elements of a sort of flashbacks, but what we really did when we started developing it together was figure out how to really build those up so we could have really sort of psychedelic, highly charged visualization of these stories that were being told. The various characters.
Yes, I like how it slips from the library into the sort of Gilliam-esque.
Oh God, you're choosing the best people to reference. I'm incredibly honored, Kent. But Terry Gilliam, all of the leaving the world aspects of the movie is something that Kate and I felt we had to earn. We had to. And I'd say that Leigh had a lot to do with that. She when she joined the cast, you know, we had Matt and me and Kate and Alan, but when Leigh joined the cast, she got into it really deeply. As did Matt. The sensual elements were something I take my cues from actors because I began on the stage. The actors, when they tell you what your story is about, and these actors really did that.
Leigh. As I was saying at the top of the conversation, you have my favorite line in the movie.
Oh yeah, which one is it?
my imitation may be too poor, so you'll have to help me out. But it was, what is it? If you don't touch them, then you're not an artist. You're an artist, you're a showgirl, and that's all you'll ever be.
That one's a fun one. Yeah, it was interesting because I had to do a lot of that crafting about who my teacher was. And like, you know, Rob and Alan really helped me out with that because I'm just like, so how does this person make me feel? Like, what is it? Why did I come here? And I think it was that line in particular that really forced me to actually build this whole backstory of like why she was here in the first place and what Diana was trying to do with her life. So it's really funny that you got that because it is a funny line, especially how I said it. I was like, how am I going to say this?
Well, I mean that runs a very close second to the whole like guy. You know, you got to print some pages, and there's footnotes, and
oh, with the lying down on the table one.
Well, you do that.
That was fun. That was a fun one to discover.
I just don't live there. I just want to say that in my office all day now. Oh, can you do this?
I don't live there.
When the police pull you over for drink driving, do you live at this? Oh, I just don't live there. It was fantastic. Yeah, no, I could only imagine you sitting down very actively figuring out the backstory for this girl who's dancing through the library handing out edibles. yeah, that's a fun one to.
Leigh brought such a great energy to the role too, right? I mean, as the dance inspired character and bringing us, you know,
she really changes the pulse of the film. It goes from this inspirational story into a story of what is it, sex and power in ancient Greece. Yeah. And she has a choice to win the race or get laid.
Oh my gosh, those were so fun. Honestly, Matt, it was really fun messing with you during during that scene.
Well, I enjoyed it as well. Thank you.
And we should have Matt say a bit more, or Spike, as he's otherwise known. The man with the golden apples, mate. How heavy were those?
Oh, well. I enjoyed this so much. The golden apples. But your listeners, they have no idea what the hell we're talking about thus far. But John, so Atalanta.
I dare say John Cena stole your act there at the Oscars, hey?
Yeah, he did. He sure did. I'd say he looks better than I do. So he's doing.
You stole your act. You need to.
He's doing fine. He looks great.
Your people.
Sorry, it wasn't him, Lay.
Your people need to get in touch with his people and like have some.
That's right. That's right. My apples need to get in touch with his apples. No, just kidding.
You know. If you reference them, you might as well give me some money while you're doing
it. I was going to back. How great Lay was to add to the project, because she brought all of the dance and all of the movement. And as you said, kind of like a third energy that really, you think it's a Woody Allen movie at the beginning, and then it changes, and then it changes again. And then we take you out of the library into these very different places with the very different styles, with the same blocking, actually. The same blocking that we do in the library, we do in the forest. And so it was hopefully easy for Alan to cut back and forth and at will and tell the story however he wanted to tell it. And those were brilliant moves by Rob and Kate, and probably Alan, who came up with helping to get the story out of the library so that we weren't just stuck there the entire time. Yeah. And it really opens up the color of the film and the scope of it. Certainly.
Although I've got to say, Alan, you've made the most interesting film nearly entirely set in the library since like The Breakfast Club, mate.
Well, yeah, I first saw The Breakfast Club when I was 10 at a sleepover. We watched it 5 times. So I haven't seen it since I was 10, but it's stuck.
Were you getting that vibe when you were shooting like for most of it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, all these characters sort of stuck in one place.
It's a shame you didn't get Judd Nelson to do a cameo or something.
Yeah, no. It was COVID. It was a lockdown. So
yeah, but hey, well done for pulling it off during the lockdown with all the restrictions. I mean, you would.
Yeah. Oh, it was tough. Like we had all the testing we had to do and everything. But the nice thing is we took it and put it to our advantage, because quite frankly, we wouldn't have been able to do this film without the lockdown, because the campus had been emptied out. So we were able to stay in. We kind of treated the campus as a dormitory as well as the back lot for the set, and we were able to be super efficient with a lower budget film by not losing time to loading in, loading out. We were able to make use of shooting for almost the entirety of each day so that we could do walkaways, and you know, we had Rider University really hooked us up with this great, you know, opportunity to kind of use the campus as a soundstage, and we used their students as the secondary crew with our keys, and even some of the actors were some of my former students there. So it was a nice combination of my professional work as well as my teaching kind of coming together to make a film here.
And in everyone's experiences in your lives, have you actually been to a library where there's a person like that character sitting with a microphone at the front who like constantly yells that little, like, hey, butterflies taste through their feet and stuff like
that. I love that line. Those lines, Rob, was that not a scene change kind of thing from the original script? You're muted.
You're muted, Rob.
It was,
Alan.
Yeah.
Speak for Rob. It was like a transition, because I don't know how taboo it is that, you know, this was actually a theater script in the beginning. You know, I'm certain Woody Allen also did that as well, and made movies. But yeah, it was transition dialogue. Gosh, yeah, I can't remember a library where they would speak over a loud system. But
yeah, I got to say, Matt, that was very Woody Allen-esque. The way you came into that table there, the way you slide in with your arm, and you start like giving the pitch to her, and like it's okay. It'll be. Like, oh, it's fantastic. You know, don't do that on a net, you know.
That's right. Well, we had a little history before that, but you didn't guess that.
No, not at all. Not at all. No. And I like Annette popping up throughout the film. Wonderful. She's the voice of what is she? The voice of the audience, the voice of reason. No, don't do that on a net. Hey.
But it's the kind of thing,
She's the voice of, let's not repeat history here, people.
Well, to have someone like Annette Gordon-Reed, who's such a superstar of the academic world, agreeing to be in the film was a real coup for us. Thanks to, you know, I think it was great to have someone with her gravitas to kind of play against the kind of buffoonery going on sometimes, or some of the more wacky parts of the film. To have someone just sort of an adult in the room, I thought was really great as a counterbalance.
We do have to send a bit of love out to another great lady, Kate Jenner, who's also, Rob, your co-writer and the star of the film. Rob, this movie gave me sort of the same great feelings and fun I had with a movie called Ruby Sparks, which not only starred but was written by Zoe Kazan. That also had, have you seen that one? Anyone seen Ruby Sparks?
I can't see it.
No, me?
Sorry.
Oh,
Rob's
audio.
Rob, we still can't hear you.
Rob, we can't hear you, mate. No set.
I haven't seen that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but it's I only mention it because it's
Is the protagonist similar to Kate?
No, but it was just again like this, so well written, and the lead actress who was so good in the part just happened to be the author of the script, and it was just. The coincidence was,
Kate is excellent and really, really intelligent woman and smart writer, and has written a couple other things with Rob thus far. And she's sorry she couldn't be here today. She has work and classes and things like, so she tried to work it out, but she sends her best.
Fantastic. I mean, again,
are you there with us, Rob? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, Rob is still...
He's not having any luck there. He's walking around the house, like, looking for the best.
We can see. Okay, he might come back in. But, no, look, this was, like I said, it sort of started off one way, and then I thought it was going to be sort of very traditional, I have to say, and then, like I said, it literally became, for me, like, Big Eyes meets Adaptation, directed by Terry Gilliam, with Michael Gowdry and Charlie Kaufman all sort of getting together like the traveling Wilburys and having a go. Rob's having a go at back twice the fun, twice the audio. He's got two microphones. But
sorry, go ahead.
Hello, Rob.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, we can. Nice.
We can, Rob. How are you, mate?
I'm fine. Man. And now that I'm back, I have to say just a couple of quick things about Kate. She began as an assistant to me and my wife, who's a novelist. Rob. And she kind of grew into wanting to write, becoming a writer. And I agree with all the great things that you said about her. She's a very beguiling presence on film, and she was exactly the same age as the historical protagonist, Cecilia Payne, when Cecilia Payne discovered it, what the universe is made of, what stars are made of. So there's a kind of poetry in her participation in the film. But she was kind of the good girl, and Matt and Leigh were kind of the bad kids, which is good.
It's the two people just trying to nudge her one way or the other, just to see what she would do. And it ended up being a really fun tug of war, Kate in the middle and me and Spike just trying to influence her with all of our.
It's like, and then it's an awkward love triangle, and then it kind of deepens, by the end, and then it splinters, and then, the result is almost like a star quake, if you will. Mm-hmm. It was when elements collide at certain velocity, creating heat and friction. I'll leave it to the science people to finish that one. But yeah. I wasn't paying much attention during science, sorry to say. But I really enjoyed this movie, and I'm really glad, sending props out again to Freestyle Media, who are doing absolutely wonderful work. Over the last year, I have had the privilege of reviewing and talking to the cast and cruise of these wonderful films, the empowering tale of a young woman trying to revive the reputation of a forgotten female astronomer, is debuting, ladies and gentlemen, on in America, North America, and VOD platforms and DVD on April 30. The film is Stargazer. I really enjoyed this. But to tease it for the audience, who I really want to go and see, so there'll be a link to the trailer in the description. It's coming out on August 30 through Freestyle Media. This film is much more than what you will see. It descends into a glorious kind of madness. and that's not just all the fault of Wuchus. That is the work of the wonderful guests that I have had the pleasure of talking with: Alan McIntyre, Leah Nicko, Matt Bogart, not that joint, my friend, and Rob Ackerman. Thank you for being on Cinema Yugen. Any final thoughts, ladies and gentlemen? Does Stargazer, anything you'd like to tantalize our audience with that will eventually get the chance to see your wonderful movie?
Well, I think I'm going to speak of it to say that Alan McIntyre's patience in finding the audio, the visual, the color palette, and the whole texture of this film, and his knowledge of cinema are what give you that intoxicating feeling, Kent. I think it's a large credit to his skill as a filmmaker and as a stoner.
The thing is, like, we've all seen Drunk History, right? So now, if you like Drunk History, you'll love Stone Science.
All right. Leah, if you're not an artist.
Oh, you're a showgirl.
No, you've got to do it like The Voice. Go on.
Oh, my gosh.
Go on.
If you're not an artist, you're a showgirl, and that's all you'll ever be. Kicks book.
Made my day.
Here's Kate. Peer pressure, Matt.
Was that improvised or was that in the script, Rob?
That was in the script.
Mine was in the script. Yeah.
That was all right. I thought you might have said no. I'm like Rob. I'm like Roy Schneider.
Maybe that's what I was going for, and I didn't even know it. So. Yeah. You called it.
We're going to need a bigger gummy bear. Matt, what do you reckon, mate? Golden apples, stargazing. What do you reckon?
That's right. We were stargazing just last week. Just last week when the moon came right in front of it.
You weren't in Madden, were you?
For that, no. Although that would have been fun.
You didn't strip off for the eclipse, did you?
No, but we could have. It got dark enough.
I was waiting for either Alan to say, like, oh no, I know, Matt. He does that.
Yeah, he does that.
He goes to library.
The girls made me do it.
We did peer pressure. Did we all peer pressure? We were like, Matt, you have to do it.
No nudo underwear. You've got to do the full Monty.
It's for my art. You know, I wanted to touch people.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's being rather than doing, isn't it, with acting? So, you know, if you're going to get in, if you're going to go raw, right?
I mean, we all have bodies. Who cares?
Yeah. I have to say, Matt's nudity was 100% Kate's idea, and she's not here for the first.
Was it?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
You learn something new every day.
The features. Are there any deleted scenes, Alan, that we can look forward to? No.
There are. We can't tell you about those.
What falls on the cutting room floor stays on the cutting
room floor. Absolutely. Yeah, we cut this very tight. We wanted, my main thing was just to keep the story going, you know, and we had so many sort of tendrils going at one time. I didn't want people to forget about anything. So, you know, we had such a great script to work with. The actors made it even better. And then in the edit, we just kept the best of the best and definitely you know, I'm not going to be doing a director's cut down the line or anything like that. I think we made the right decisions and we're, you know, going to move on to the next one. But in,
oh, wow.
For the time being, no, this is great.
I look forward to that. I hope that that everyone comes over, because that will be, this is really surprised and delighted me. So I look forward with great anticipation. Alan, Lee, Matt, Rob, everyone, Kate as well, wherever she may be. I look forward to everything that you all do next. It was really a pleasure. It was a pleasure not only to watch the movie, a pleasure to talk to you, to meet you all. Leigh, thank you for making my day. That was fantastic. Well done. Next time I'm in the library, I'll be looking over my shoulder thinking of you. Dancing in the next aisle, handing out gummy bears to the old ladies. But thank you everyone. This is a tremendous film being distributed on April 30 through Freestyle Digital Media in North America on digital platforms, and thank goodness for DVD too. Make sure you get out there and get one and check it out. Stargazer. My thanks to Alan McIntyre, Lena Gow, Matt Bogart, don't bogart that joint, my friend, and Rob Ackerman. Thank you for your wonderful talent, ladies and gentlemen. More power to you, more power to independent cinema. Thank you for being on Cinema Yugen, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Kent.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Kent. Yes, that is Stargazer, ladies and gentlemen. It is an incredible, incredible experience. It is adding only more fuel to the great fire of hope that independent cinema is going to rise up and bring down the IP-opolis and bring these beautiful, original, powerful, dynamic, incredible, all the superlatives that mean excellent, back for your viewing pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. Stargazer will be available April 30, 2024 on DVD and VOD in North America. Other territories to follow. Links in the description. There will be links to the trailer and the film's website, which is www.stargazerfilm.com. That's www.stargazerfilm.com. Like I said, that and link to the trailer in the description box. Yes, April 30. Get out there and support physical media. Get out there and keep independent film strong. Growing strong and going strong. And thank you for listening, as always, my friends, to Cinema Yugen on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Until next time, hooroo.